Jesus appeared to John and told him to write words to seven churches. Hear these words to the church at Thyatira. To the angel of the church in Thyatira write, "These are the words of the Son of God, whose eyes are like blazing fire, and whose feet are like burnished bronze. I know your deeds, your love and faith, your service and perseverance, and that you are now doing more than you did at first. Nevertheless, I have this against you. You tolerate that woman Jezebel, who calls herself a prophetess. By her teaching, she misleads my servants into sexual immorality and the eating of food sacrificed to idols. I've given her time to repent of her immorality, but she is unwilling. So I will cast her on a bed of suffering, and I will make those who commit adultery with her suffer intensely unless they repent of their ways. I will strike her children dead, then all the church will know that I am he who searches hearts and minds, and I will repay each of you according to your deeds. Now I say to the rest of you in Thyatira, to you who do not hold to her teachings and have not learned Satan's so-called deep secrets, I will not impose any other burden on you, only hold on to what you have until I come. To him who overcomes and does my will to the end, I will give authority over the nations. He will rule them with an iron scepter, and he will dash them to pieces like pottery. Just as I have received authority from my Father, I will also give him the morning star. He who has an ear to hear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches." This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Hello, Christ Church, and all of our friends joining us today. I'm so glad you're with us for online worship. If you're on Facebook or the website, say hello to other friends in the comments section. If you have prayer requests or a praise report, send them to us. We want to pray for you. If you want to follow along with my outline, you can do that on the website or the church app. Today, I'm continuing our series titled Letters from Jesus. As we look at the book of Revelation, chapters 1 through 3, we see that Jesus appeared to John in a vision while John was exiled on the island of Patmos, and Jesus tells John to write down what he sees and send it to seven particular churches in Asia Minor. Revelation 1:11 reads, "Write on a scroll what you see and send it to the seven churches, to Ephesus, Smyrna, Pergamum, Thyatira, Sardis, Philadelphia, and Laodicea." Jesus has particular words to share with each of these churches. It was a time of persecution, upheaval, and uncertainty, and believers across the known world were suffering. John was writing to encourage the faithful. His style is a distinctive kind of literature, apocalyptic. It's highly symbolic. It's not always easy to understand. And yet, Revelation's overarching theme is one of hope and encouragement for Christ followers in the midst of persecution, turmoil, and trouble. We've already looked at the church in Ephesus, where believers had forsaken their first love. At the church in Smyrna, where believers had experienced persecution and were encouraged not to fear. And at the church at Pergamum, where some appear to hold to teaching that was leading to idolatry and sexual immorality in the church. Today, we'll be looking at the church at Thyatira, a church that appeared to tolerate sin and teaching that was misleading some believers. The city of Thyatira was about 30 to 35 miles southeast of Pergamum and was known for its wool and dye industries. In fact, in Acts 16:14, we learned that a woman named Lydia was a dealer in purple cloth from the city of Thyatira. Thyatira was also known for having trade guilds, what we might call unions. And if you were not part of a trade guild, most likely you were not economically successful. The city was located along a trade route, and it had a small military garrison to protect the well-known city down the road, Pergamum. Though it was probably the smallest city that Jesus spoke to of the seven, he had the most to say to the people of Thyatira. Smaller churches matter to Jesus as much as medium-sized and mega-sized churches. All churches need to hear from Jesus. Well, as the letter begins, Jesus again identifies himself distinctively. Revelation 2:18, to the angel of the church in Thyatira write, "These are the words of the Son of God, whose eyes are blazing, are like blazing fire, and whose feet are like burnished bronze." This is the only time in Revelation where Jesus is called the Son of God. We Christians believe that from all eternity, God has existed as Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. To recognize Jesus as the Son of God is to recognize him as the part of the triune God that we worship, God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. Jesus comes with all the authority and power of Almighty God. Notice Jesus praises the good in the church at Thyatira. Post praises. In many ways, this church is the best of the four churches we've studied so far. Look at what Jesus says about it. Revelation 2:19. I know your deeds, your love and faith, your service and perseverance, and that you are now doing more than you did at first. This church has the good works of Ephesus along with the love that Ephesus lacked. It has the perseverance of Smyrna and the good theology of the majority of the church at Pergamum. Jesus says, you are doing more than you did at first. Your love, faith, service, and perseverance have been growing. This is what Jesus wants of every church. Remember, to Ephesus, Jesus said, you were strong, but now you're getting weaker. You've lost your first love. To Thyatira, he says, you are good and you're getting better. That is high praise from our Lord. Whatever else we can say about Thyatira, the Lord clearly says they were still making progress spiritually. It's wonderful to be part of a church that is growing in love and knowledge and zeal for Christ. May that always be said of our church. We're growing in love and knowledge and zeal for Christ. Know, love, serve. That's our pathway. So Jesus has high praise for this church that was advancing the gospel in an unlikely place. It is that high praise that makes the rest of this passage so unsettling. Notice Jesus also exposes evil in the church at Thyatira. Post evil in the chat. Somehow in the midst of their growth, they had allowed an ungodly woman to rise to a place of significant spiritual influence. Revelation 2:20. Nevertheless, I have this against you. You tolerate that woman Jezebel, who calls herself a prophetess. By her teaching, she misleads my servants into sexual immorality and the eating of food sacrificed to idols. Now, there are many mysteries here this text does not explain. Who was this woman, and how did she rise to prominence in an otherwise excellent congregation? Our Lord here clearly refers to a real person, even though the name Jezebel is likely not her real name, but an allusion to the wicked wife of King Ahab, first mentioned in 1 Kings 16:29 through 33. The short version of that Old Testament story is this. Jezebel was the daughter of a pagan king, and when she married Ahab, king of Israel, she eventually influenced the whole nation to turn to Baal worship. That crafty Jezebel became a symbol for a seductive form of evil that not only allowed for idolatry, but promoted it. And not only allowed for adultery and sexual immorality, but encouraged it. Such a toxic mix will soon destroy a nation or a church. But how could such a woman come to power in the church at Thyatira? Perhaps the answer is in the word prophetess. She claimed to be a prophetess, and by claiming to speak for God, she probably gained credibility with gullible, untaught Christians. Maybe she had a powerful personality. Maybe she was a good communicator, had a flashy smile. Perhaps she had a scorn for her critics. Perhaps she was clever, quick on her feet, slick in her presentation, and extremely dangerous. Somehow in her teaching, she was misleading some of the believers in Thyatira into sexual immorality, sex outside the bounds of a committed marriage between a man and a woman, giving them the impression that, hey, it's okay. God's okay with this sex outside of the bounds of marriage, no problem. As well as eating food that had been sacrificed to idols. Remember, that was a big discussion in Acts chapter 15 at the all-church conference to decide whether Gentiles could be allowed to join the church without being circumcised. In Acts 15, at the all-church conference, they decided, yes, the Gentiles could be part of the church without being circumcised, but there were a few things Gentiles were to abstain from. Among them, food sacrificed to idols and sexual immorality. This was a consistent message in the New Testament church. Abstain from food sacrificed to idols and sexual immorality. But this woman was leading people astray, and Jesus called it out. She was misleading believers. Jesus is not happy with anyone who misleads believers in any age. Jesus continues. He judges the evil in the church at Thyatira. Revelation 2:21. I've given her time to repent of her immorality, but she is unwilling. So I will cast her on a bed of suffering, and I will make those who commit adultery with her suffer intensely, unless they repent of their ways. I will strike her children dead. Then all the churches will know that I am he who searches hearts and minds, and I will repay each of you according to your deeds. When Jesus says, I gave her time to repent, he perhaps means the church leaders had confronted her about her sinful behavior, and she did not respond. While it's true that the patience of God is meant to lead us to repentance, it's also true that God's patience has a limit. He will not wait forever. If we persist in our sin, our selfishness, judgment will come at last. In this case, the judgment is spelled out. First, there will be intense suffering. Second, her followers will die. And third, all the churches will know God is serious about sin in the church. These were harsh words for the church then and likewise today. But these harsh words must not be watered down. Let those in our day who promote free sex, casual sex, hooking up, sleeping around, premarital sex, filthy talk, pornography, prostitution, adultery, sexual experimentation, and any sex outside of the covenant of a committed marriage between a man and a woman, hear this straightforward word from heaven. Sin is sin. Missing the mark is missing the mark. And for all of us, our sin will find us out. So we do well to listen to these words from Jesus. Notice next, Jesus encourages his faithful followers. Revelation 2, 24 and 25 contain Christ's call to the faithful remnant at Thyatira. Now I say to the rest of you in Thyatira, to you who do not hold to her teachings and have not learned Satan's so-called deep secrets, I will not impose any other burden on you. Only hold on to what you have until I come. The phrase so-called deep secrets gives us a clue to perhaps what was going on. This Jezebel enticed her followers by promising them knowledge and experience that came through some combination of pagan ritual plus Christian symbolism plus sexual experimentation, all under the banner of learning deep secrets that other people don't know. False prophets love deep secrets. It's almost irresistible. We love it when someone says, "Let me tell you a secret." And when you cloak deep secrets with a veneer of religion, it becomes even more attractive. Why be stuck with the Bible when you can enter a world of direct messages, omens, signs, and prophecies that give you insight into the hidden world that regular Christians don't have? Jesus has only one command to his faithful followers. Hold on. Don't give in to her seductive schemes. Don't join those who follow her teachings. Sometimes godliness is measured by holding on when it would be easier to give up. The easy thing today is to give up our Christian standards, to let them go in the midst of our culture that encourages just that. But if God has given them to us because they're ultimately what's best for us, then they are worth holding on to. Next, Jesus promises to share his victory with us. Revelation 2:26. To him who overcomes and does my will to the end, I will give authority over the nations. He will rule them with an iron scepter. He will dash them to pieces like pottery. Just as I have received authority from my Father, I will also give him the morning star. Those who remain faithful will one day reign with Christ on the earth. They will share with him in his coming kingdom. 2,000 years ago, the world crucified Jesus, but one day he will rule the world with an iron scepter as King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And if we are faithful, we will share in his victory. And we will know him deeply and personally, for he is that true morning star that lights up all of heaven. What another telling and meaningful word from Jesus. But before I close this message, let's consider the implications of this passage for the 21st century. No one disputes that we live in a sex-saturated society. We glorify sex and talk about it so much that it almost bores us. But rampant sex is only a symptom of a much deeper problem. We are starving on the inside. You know, a starving person will eat anything you put in front of them. They'd eat food that will kill them in the end. Why is pornography such a huge business on the internet? It's a matter of supply and demand. People make millions, even billions, off of pornography because it offers a temporary fix for the emptiness we cannot satisfy. Though many have tried, no one has ever improved on God's plan for sexual happiness. God wired us so that we would find our deepest sexual fulfillment inside the boundaries of marriage between one man and one woman. Sex starts not with a physical act, but with a relationship that leads to a commitment, that makes a covenant that God delights to honor. We ought to teach our children that when God created sexual desire, he also created a proper place where it can be fully enjoyed. What then do we say to those who have made repeated mistakes in the sexual area? Is there grace for them too? Could Jezebel herself have been saved? Could she have found forgiveness? We aren't left to wonder about that. Jesus said in Revelation 2:21, "I have given her time to repent of her immorality, but she is unwilling." Jezebel could have been forgiven, but she was unwilling. But in that statement, we find the hope of the gospel. Get this, if we are willing, we can be changed. We can be made clean. We can have a new start. If you are willing, your sins can be washed away. We are all saved by the same way, by the free grace of God. To those who are scarred by wrong choices in the past, if you are willing, you can be forgiven and made clean. 2 Corinthians 5:17 says, "If anyone is in Christ, he or she is a new creation. The old has gone, the new has come." If you want Jesus, you have to turn away from sin and turn your heart over to the Lord. Give Him all you are, including the sins that stain your past. Trust in Him as your Lord and Savior. Come to Jesus just as you are, and He will never turn you away. He loves you. He came from heaven to save you. He died on the cross for you. He invites you to come to Him. A new life awaits everyone who says yes to Jesus. Let's pray together. Let's pray. Oh, Heavenly Father, Almighty God, loving Lord, we thank you for your Son, Jesus. He has come into the world to save us from our sin and free us to joyful obedience. He knows us. He loves us and knows just what we need. His words have a life-saving impact with the church at Thyatira and have life-giving impact for us as well. In this day and age of sex saturation, we are grateful for Jesus, the Word made flesh, who has come among us with grace and truth. Oh Lord, help us repent where we need it, and help us to hold on to our faith where we need that too. Give us wisdom and insight as we seek to love you with all of our heart, mind, soul, and strength, and to love our neighbor as we love ourselves. In Jesus' name we've prayed. And everyone said, amen. Amen. Hey, if you want to visit with me about the message, I'd love to hear from you. If you have prayer requests or praise reports, send them to us. We want to hear from you. We want to pray for you. And thank you for your generosity as well. You know, your gifts, online and otherwise, are helping us to care and reach new people for Jesus and His kingdom in this new year. You can go online, use the app or the website anytime. Be sure to take advantage of all of our discipleship opportunities. Find the information you need on our website, cumctulsa.com. Remember this, Jesus is the one who knows us, loves us, corrects us, forgives us, saves us. For now, who do you know that needs that kind of amazing love from Jesus?
So I got into an argument on an elevator with my husband.
I'm sorry.
Yeah, I was wrong on so many levels.
Discover CMC is a chance to find out more about our church, its beliefs, history, and membership. On February 5th at 2 p.m., we'll share snacks and conversation about who our church is. Pastor Bob and Chris Miracle will guide our time together as we discover CUMC.
We have a fellowship opportunity time for the women of CUMC on February 4th. Our women's ministry is serving a brunch at 10 a.m. Please join us and bring a friend. You can sign up at the Connect Center or online.
The first Wednesday of February, we are so pleased to host Reverend Jeff Janes from Restore Hope Ministries. Hear guest worship leader Gretchen Wagner and participate in a hands-on mission project. Join us February 1st at 5:30 p.m. First Wednesday, a meal, a mission, a message.
You can find all of this information and more on our website, cumctulsa.com.